What's the current day mindset of the American consumer? For nearly 2 years, shoppers have been expressing concerns about prices, but products keep flying off the retail shelves. Will retailers at some point see a noticeable slowdown in sales? Welcome to Store Brand Spotlight. I'm Greg Sleater, Executive Editor of Store Brands. Today we welcome Steve Rogers, Managing Director, Deloitte Consumer Industries Center. Steve will share insights from Deloitte's Consumer Signals, which continually tracks the behavior of shoppers. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast today.
And thank you. And we look forward to the discussion today. The never-ending question of what's going on in the mindset of the consumer keeps us all busy and I think keeps a few people up at night. So it's always a fascinating conversation. Steve, as we sit here today, can you give us that overview of where the American consumer is today, you know, in their minds as they're heading out to the stores?
Sure, Greg. Well, you know, I'm guilty as anybody. I think about the consumer a little bit too much, but it's not as bad as some headlines might lead us to believe, right? You know, as you mentioned, we've been tracking consumer sentiment and behavior since April of 2020, really when the pandemic kicked off. And we've done it with our Deloitte Consumer Signals platform. And we found Americans' sense of financial well-being has generally moved inversely with inflation. So when inflation peaked in June of 2022, our collective sense of financial well-being hit a low point as Americans. But when you fast forward to today, consumers feel better about their financial well-being overall. Fewer of us are concerned about our savings. We're not worried about making upcoming payments. As we were during maybe the height of inflation and definitely the height of COVID, and fewer are delaying large purchases, right? So that should be good news for most retailers and most companies, right? But what's been curious, right, and this is the thing we're seeing this year, we see that sense of American financial well-being has plateaued over the past year. Consumers are just feeling a little malaise, and the data suggests it's because inflation is playing a part in that, right? There's a persistent concern about price increases that keeps consumers from feeling just a little bit better. And, you know, what we found is 7 in 10 consumers say they're concerned about rising prices on everyday purchases. So that suggests that while the inflation rate's gone down, thankfully so, and has eased much faster, it's eased much faster than we consumers have acclimatized to these higher prices.
That's interesting. And you mentioned the last couple of years. And one of the things that I thought was fascinating as we read all the stuff we read and then, you know, obviously consume that data and try to make sense of it, we've heard a lot of concerns about inflation from consumers. And I think that led many experts to believe that at some point recession was coming and there was going to be a downturn. Yet none of that happened. Yeah. Is there some disconnect between what consumers are saying when they're polled and ultimately what they do in stores when they're out shopping?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I know it looks illogical and that sometimes I'm sitting here scratching my head, but at the heart of it, right, nobody likes to pay more. It's just the truth of it. Neither you nor I like to pay more. So there's that background, but it's not just inflation. We've been on a really wild ride, right? All of us, this collective experience that we've had, right? So the last few years with the pandemic lockdowns, the stockouts, the wider supply chain disruptions, a 40-year high in inflation and 11 rate hikes by the Fed and political uncertainty, and the list goes on, that all informs how we're feeling. And some of us are spending, retail therapy. Some of us are spending because we didn't have a chance to, or we got reemployed, you know, so there's just people coming out and acting, you know, somewhat rationally based on their experience. But when you think about it, the oldest millennial hasn't seen an inflationary event like this in his or her lifetime. And I'm a Gen Xer. I don't know about you, but I was barely out of elementary school the last time inflation hit 9.1 as it did in 2022. So it's no surprise the shock is going to take some time to work out of our collective system. You know, I'm still complaining to my wife about paying $24 for a pizza, right? It's just, it's still a shock to me. But we are spending, right? We see people spending And I can get a little bit more into what we're spending on if you'd like.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little later. I'm curious, and to stay with the mindset, well, we look at a broad picture of consumers. Clearly, there's a lot of segments to the consumers. Is there a difference in their thoughts and what they're feeling based on their economic standing?
Yeah, I mean, you might expect that to be true. You know, as housing, transportation, and grocery costs became more or an increasing share of lower and middle income households, consumers' wallets, you know, that began to edge out discretionary categories like clothing, like leisure travel, like electronics, right? Meanwhile, higher income households have been able to absorb those price increases, and it's been more of an annoyance to them. And in fact, right, when you look at the luxury goods segment, it's done quite well, back to retail therapy and just people being out there and spending. You know, as consumers' sense of financial well-being improves, it's interesting, we do see a difference amongst income groups too. Lower and middle income households tend to turn towards leisure travel and repatting their savings when they're feeling better about their financial condition. And then when you look at lower income houses specifically, they also return to other discretionary spending categories that they may have been denying themselves, like recreation and entertainment, like electronics. So you do see a difference depending on, you know, the economic standing of a household. But we're all kind of feeling it.
Through the first couple of months of the year so far, has there been any noticeable slowing in consumer spending?
Well, you know, it was interesting. Last fall, we saw consumers ramping up for the holidays starting in October, right? There were some retailers who pulled their sales really early. And so we started to see that. And it was a very good holiday season. But we were a little surprised when spending intentions for January came in strong. But then consumers pulled back in February as they reprioritized savings. So it's a little too early to tell. You know, maybe January credit card bills sobered us up, right, from our holiday spending spree. And we have seen, you know, concern about credit card debt creeping up over the past year. It's now about 3 in 10 Americans are concerned about their credit card level. A year ago, it was probably 2 in 10. So that's happening. But, you know, just going back to a relationship between financial well-being and spending, we saw financial well-being go up slightly in the last month while spending intentions went down. And, you know, we just talked about the differences in income. Lower income and middle income houses tend to repad their savings when they feel better. So we're in a moment that we'd expect to see, and that's not a bad thing. So it really is too early to tell. Meanwhile, our economists tell us that they're optimistic, that growth in spending will be at a rate slightly below GDP growth due to falling inflation, lower unemployment, increased productivity. So we'll see. We'll see.
Interesting. And when you look at the different segments, I mean, there are categories people need to buy, food. I think, you know, groceries and food, obviously, people need to buy. And then there are other, you know, more discretionary categories out there. Are there any of those product segments that either we're starting to see or we expect to see consumers dial back on simply because, you know, maybe they bought those items within the last 6 months to a year and they just don't need to buy those items anymore?
For sure. Right. Absolutely. Durable goods will probably remain slow. After all, how many air fryers do you need on your countertop? Right. Half the retailers we spoke to expect to see consumers to value lower prices over loyalty. Right. So they're expecting people to spend less overall. And we've seen a lot of people move to discount retailers over the past 2 years. They've seen the lion's share of growth in consumer spending as consumers try to stretch their dollar further. And mass merchants and club stores have held their own in that environment as discount retailers pick up that at the expense of specialty formats. But this is all to say that, yes, in discretionary spending categories such as goods and things that we've purchased over the last couple of years and we don't need to replenish, that will slow down. And what's consumers are shifting to, where they're putting their incremental dollars, is into leisure travel, entertainment, restaurants, etc., as well as padding savings. So retailers are really, in 2024, if things remain good and people feel good, they're going to be spending on travel and savings accounts. So their retailers are really in competition with banks, airlines, and hotels, I think.
That's interesting. I'm sure the retailers, the last thing they need is more competition.
So. Right.
So that's interesting. You touched on discounters a little bit. From a standpoint of the retail segments, that will benefit from consumers who may throughout the year seek to save some money, or if prices, you know, bubble up again. Is it the discounters and the dollar stores that will be the winners in that? And for those outside that channel, you know, what can they do to maybe better compete and keep their shoppers from, you know, sort of sliding over to those types of retailers?
Yeah. You know, with pandemic stockouts, with inflation, it was a great opportunity to try new things and new retailers, right? So there was a lot of substitution and there was a lot of experimentation by consumers. And so we did see over the last couple years, discounters really take a bite out of other people's share, especially specialty formats and department stores, right? So I think that will continue, right? I think mass merchants and club stores will continue to do well in that environment. But, you know, private label. So if you're not in that, in those segments, you know, private label really had its day during the pandemic because sometimes things weren't on the shelf or your favorite product wasn't on the shelf. So people tried new things. And not only did they like the price, but in some cases they like the quality, right? So they may be sticking with them for price reasons, but they're also sticking with them for quality reasons. You know, 6 out of 10 executives, CP executives in this case, consumer products, tell us that they expect increased competition from private labels in 2024 because of what they've been seeing, right? And it even goes further, 7 out of 10. I think there's at least a 50-50 chance that private label or store brands offered by the big retailers will outsell their national brands in 1 or 2 years from now. 50-50 chance is not nothing, right? So that's kind of surprising. So I think there are people pushing into that. And then lastly, you know, with all that switching, with all the price pressures, loyalty is an area where I actually know, the majority of retailers plan to lean in this year and rekindling loyalty, but they're going to have to find a way to rekindle profitable loyalty, right? They can't just throw stuff at consumers.
You touched on private label, and that was, I think, you know, again, going back to that start of the pandemic, and for a variety of reasons, whether it was product availability or pricing, what have you, we saw more consumers willingly try private label products, find things that they like. You mentioned the cost savings. So that was a big change in how consumers shop and their behaviors.
Yeah.
Do you expect, you know, further alterations to how consumers shop and change in behaviors, whether they're worried about higher prices or, you know, whether you're just looking to save some money?
Well, you know, the pandemic really supercharged our mad addiction to convenience, right? Because we had to buy online, we did buy online, and a lot of the convenience of that and the liquid expectations of online commerce has bled over. And I think one of the areas that we're going to see retailers invest in is their omni experience, in-store investments, actually. So the indoor store experience and building that up so that, you know, there's more frictionless activity in the store. That's going to come in the form of layouts in terms of returns, et cetera. I also think as we look ahead and we think about consumer behavior, the other thing we're all dabbling with is AI. But I think retailers are going to have to try to figure out how do we use AI in a trustworthy manner, right, to engage consumers and provide solutions to consumers and or our associates that people trust, right? Through transparency, capability, reliability. Of course, with the workforce, it's also a concern that the workforce might have about, you know, displacement, but, you know, how can you bring it in to augment versus replace? So I think there's a couple of opportunities for those folks who aren't in discount, aren't in some of the spaces that have benefited from price pressures, to lean in. Loyalty, in-store experience, use of AI.
And all the research and surveys that you do of consumers, you get any sense that they're either their anger or their annoyance of higher prices over the past couple of years, that they may take some of that annoyance out on the retailers that they normally shop at and may, again, look to go someplace else to save money?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it really happened in the summer of 2022. You know, when we were connecting with consumers, the term price gouging and such and the like was at its peak. I think that's abated, right? But, you know, it's no surprise that the number one downloaded app in the iPhone app store was Temu, right? Temu promises really low prices, right? And they're trying to be a competitor to other online commerce players, right? So people are still going there. And, you know, I think retailers who are not the low price folks are going to have to find ways to continue to work on that loyalty and build that trust.
Within the realm of loyalty, and this is sort of a two-parter that's related, what can retailers do to, one, maintain that high degree of loyalty among people that are already coming to their stores, and two, sort of simultaneously attract more people from the competition?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think part of it is rekindling trust. The trust in institutions across the board has really dropped, no matter the type of institution, and retailers aren't immune to that. So how do you build trust? Because when people have a trust in the brand, they're, I think, 1.6 times more likely to continue to buy from that brand. So, you know, as they rekindle their loyalty programs, I think they can look at status tiering, providing different offerings, building benefits in, communication to higher tiers, working towards migrating people up in their tiers. It's been successful for certain retailers that have seen increased retention rates from their top tier loyalty customers. The other one may be, you know, co-branding, right? They should look at their portfolios and their benefits of their portfolio benefits, and think about how can they co-brand to get broader exposure to new sets of consumers while maybe sharing the costs of that. You know, I mentioned that people will spend their incremental dollars on travel, so that may be one place to go. 25% of consumers purchase apparel when they're about to take a trip, right? So, you know, there's an obvious co-branding for certain retail formats. And then when it comes to just sort of monetizing loyalty programs, you know, 6 in 10 executives think they can make moderate to major investments in building and expanding sort of the revenue streams from those loyalty programs, right? And hopefully they're doing that by, you know, providing value to consumers, right? One of the areas they'll probably look at is, you know, retail media networks and the advertisers there. But, you know, that also needs to provide value for their end consumer.
And Steve, as the first quarter comes to a close and we start moving into the second quarter, any consumer trends or behaviors that retailers really need to be watching as we progress further into 2024?
Yeah, I can think of at least two. There's probably a lot more, right? So, you know, one of the things that weighs on that sense of financial well-being is credit card debt. And we've seen Americans' total outstanding balances have spiked since 2021, right? And delinquency rates have crept up too. But they're not yet to the point where banks are concerned. But as I've shared, you know, Americans have shown concern about their own level of debt. And so we'll be watching how that influences financial well-being and thus their spending intentions. Because if they're doing more debt service, that means they're probably spending less on the things you want to sell them. The other one is the thing I mentioned about where incremental dollars are going, right? In competition with hotels and airlines and banks, right? So we tend to spend on that when we're feeling a little more jingle in our pocket and a little bit brighter about our future. So I think the opportunity there, as I mentioned, is co-branding to capture mind share of that consumer and making sure you're there when they are attaching something to that. But, you know, I think 2/3 of executives do anticipate, retail executives, that people will buy less. So, you know, it's going to be one of those where you're probably going to be into promotions and the like this year. But other than that, I think we're kind of looking at hopefully a normalization after really some tremendously rocky years, right? And just crazy years.